During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
They beat the Cowboys. Trust me, I'll come in here that next Thursday and be like, hey, you know what? Give me the KC Wolf outfit. Let me get on top of the
rocks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
2 days early.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Where is the KC Wolf outfit? Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com.
I actually saw him in a parking lot with Tyrann Mathieu this morning, handing out turkey. So I couldn't get the costume, but I will definitely sing some praises.
That's
today.
Right.
I will sing some praises.
That's right. The Chiefs beat the Cowboys 19-9. Jeff, my goodness. You would think that most of the tweets that I'll be getting during and after that game would be focused on the Chiefs winning and celebrating and good feelings, but the majority of the tweets, what's Jeff Chedia going to say?
They're looking for me.
Oh, they are looking for
smoke.
You. They're waiting
it
for you patiently.
I don't remember smoke.
Laying in wait.
Jeff?
I said open up the phone lines, but Jake wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's a bridge too far. Jake, yes or no?
Hell no.
Okay, just send tweets to Jake.
Yeah, just tweet.
If you tweet at Jake Goody or at SSJWHB.
912-913-4810.
That sounds
913-912-4810.
There you go.
If you have any questions or comments,
I'll read them
to Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Let's start with what we saw on Sunday between the Chiefs and Cowboys. Chiefs win 19-9. And you wrote about this Chiefs defense for NFL.com. For those that haven't read it, tell people what you wrote.
I gave them love. I said, look, you can't really.
Sweet love.
Sweet love, yeah. You can't really. Look, I could sit here and upset Jake with comments about Tyron Smith not playing and Amari Cooper not being there and CeeDee Lamb. I'm not going to do that.
It wasn't another gift?
I'm not going to do that. It wasn't a gift. The Raiders might get a gift this week, but
they won't take advantage of it. They won't return.
Because the way they played, I think, they would have beaten the Cowboys with those guys playing. And so.
Now, that right there is a statement maybe I didn't expect. You've come a long way.
See?
Jeff just said, even if those guys have played the way the Chiefs played, the Chiefs still would have won the game. Now we can do business.
Now we can do business, huh?
Let's get it.
Window is open.
Yeah, that's right. Open for business now. Go on.
So, look, they played the way they played the week earlier, which is the way they have to keep playing, which is this isn't about – they're not coming for coronations now. They're coming for cage matches. You know, they're coming with a sense of urgency. I thought they were the more physical team. They were the more focused team. They were the more prepared team. They outplayed Dallas, outcoached them in all respects. And when you play that way, like they scored 19 points. What they got with 41 the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that 2 weeks earlier about can this offense keep doing it. They got 41, they got 19, but they still won the game, I think, in a more impressive fashion because they had to fight to do it. I think, if anything, two possessions epitomized this game for me when they get a strip sack. Micah Parsons gets a forced fumble and a fumble recovery off a sack of Mahomes, and then they get the interception. Ball goes off Kelsey's hands, and 27, I forget who he is, for the Cowboys, returns it. Byron Pringle runs him down. They only get, 6 points out of that?
3 points is all they got because Ward intercepted the one ball.
3 points.
I mean, it's the defense stepped up every time.
Yeah, and so I think that's more. I say all the time, defense is it's communication and it's technique, but a lot more of it is just hustle and pride and toughness, and they showed all those things again. So I'm still not going to say I don't think it's an elite defense. I think the Patriots are an elite defense. I don't think it's a good defense. I think Arizona has a good defense. I think it's a middle-of-the-road defense that probably underperformed earlier in this year and maybe overperforming now. But at the end of the day, if you're winning games, that's all that really matters. It doesn't really. No one's going to go back and say, well, they didn't have Aaron Rodgers in this game or Saquon Barkley didn't play in that game or Mark was. The wins only matter in the final.
It's about the alphabet, they like to say out there.
Yeah.
We'll sprinkle a few texts in as we go from the 816. Let the excuses begin, Jeffrey. We know you'll pick the Chiefs to lose the bye game. That's not
you
true.
You won't pick the Chiefs to lose during the bye.
Tell us how the crow tastes.
Stop right there, though. You kid about that. Let's hope there's no losses during the bye week. Because bad things that happen during the bye week, let's...
You got any funny ones in there?
let me find this other one.
I've read them.
Okay.
No, there was one about they want you to cut the crust off of Pioli's PB&J.
Wow.
I don't understand that one either.
There's also some good tests saying that Jadea is one of the best guests all week.
Yes, all that stuff.
Thank you.
Listen, Chiefs fan here, people need to chill on Jadea. He's got an opinion and doesn't run from it.
Look, here's the deal.
I love Jadea's comments on the Chiefs. It shows me why I shouldn't day drink. I don't understand that one.
Why shouldn't you day drink?
I don't know. These are the people you want to call in here, Jeff. How about this one? We still love you, Jeff. Go Michigan, beat Ohio State.
Ooh, damn straight.
You've got a damn ally out there.
You need that.
My mom listens every now and then. Suck it, Jeff.
That one's not good.
It's not even creative. And I get plenty of responses as well. But hey, Jeff is just telling it like it is and telling the truth. And
chill
Chiefs
on Jadea.
Fans,
he's got an opinion and doesn't run from it. This is all respect for you, Jeff. Chiefs fans don't want to hear it.
And look, whenever you're being criticized, your team's being criticized, you don't like to hear it. And there's a difference between what we see on the debate shows and what we talked about earlier, where they don't really have an opinion. They just make something up to cause debate, right? Yeah. And they don't believe it. You come in here and you give us a lot of facts along with your opinions. I feel like sometimes you do like to twist the knife into my side when you see it pains me so much. Right. But, hey, look, early on in the season, a lot of things that you said came to fruition, and they weren't playing well. But now, and if people doubt it, reading the first part of the column that you wrote, you say this wasn't about the Chiefs facing a team missing some players. This was about a defensive line that came out there and basically kicked ass.
Yeah. And so, look, I get it. Look, man, and I tell people all the time, man, you go to Seattle when they were rolling back in, whatever, 6, 7, 8 years ago, or Baltimore when they won their last championship, or other cities, you go on and talk on the radio. If you say anything that is close to not being 100% behind whatever the consensus belief is about the team, that they're going to win 8 Super Bowls or dominate this team, it's like you're a hater. And so I think that comes with the territory. But I think, to be honest with you, I think every encounter I've ever had with a listener or somebody who knows me in this town has been positive. And I got to tell people all the time, I love seeing the Chiefs win because my family's happy, my son's happy, you guys are happy. It's cool. But I also know that you got to tell the truth. And when a team's not playing well, I'm not a fan. So I can't sit here and be like, yeah, this happens, that happens, you're not seeing this. It's like, this is what I see. And if I see something positive, like I saw the last 2 weeks, I say it's a positive. I don't think, again, it's they still have to do a lot of things. They're not winning a championship based off beating Dallas. Like I said to Todd in the hallway, no one's getting a ring off this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be remiss to not say that they are one of the three most impressive teams in the AFC right now. I put New England, the Colts, and the Chiefs in the same category. Nobody is playing better football right now than those three teams in the AFC.
Now, last week...
They were all in last place at one point.
Right. Last week when we talked about this, I said I still thought the Chiefs, coming off their last couple of wins, I think they're the best team in the AFC now. I feel even stronger about that based on what we saw from Buffalo. Tennessee, that was ridiculous losing to Houston, and I think they're going to fall apart, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose this weekend in New England.
Be careful making those kind of problems. I'm telling you right now.
Right.
Be careful.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself. I think the guy they had some juice for a week or two.
Titans are fraudulent now.
I think they're in trouble.
No Julio Jones.
I'm a believer in New England. You know, if Mac Jones can just play reasonably well, the Colts scare the hell out of me. Jonathan Taylor. That was a major league ass kicking
in Buffalo.
Buffalo's got some real problems. It feels like
they're going to start having doubts now.
Well, they thought they won the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead Stadium a couple of weeks ago. Then they realized they had a whole season left to play, And so it may have seemed ridiculous last week. I don't think it's ridiculous to say the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC.
I don't think there's a team to beat in the AFC. I think it's dangerous for the Chiefs to think that now.
But
I don't think it's about climbing up the hill anymore. I think Andy Reid said it best. It's about getting through each week at one at a time.
It's boring, but it's true.
It's boring, but it's true. Because ultimately, you look at, especially in the AFC, the four division leaders right now could all end up not winning their divisions. I can't remember the last time that's happened. It's been probably 20 years because you have to factor in New England just rolling over the AFC East. But New England and Buffalo in the East, all those teams in the North are locked up. The Colts could make a run on the Titans. The Chargers are a half game behind the Chiefs, and they're going to play each other. So all these teams who are on top could easily be in second place. Could easily be fighting for wild card spots as opposed to...
Because all the teams that are on top weren't on top.
Weren't on top.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been turned upside down. And so... If I've taken anything away from this season after 11 games, it's that I'm not going to write anybody off anymore. I'm not going to proclaim anybody the best team in the AFC because all that stuff is week to week now. You know, it's really, and I don't think Buffalo is going to disappear. I don't think the Titans are going to. They're too well coached. They have some injuries. If anything, this shows me that what the Chiefs were going through a month ago, now it's time for these other teams to go through some of that stuff now. And what you end up finding out is, do you have heart? You know, do you have toughness? You know, can you find a way to outlast the adversity and get yourself in position to be in the playoffs down the road?
Because for all the people that want to talk about who's been missing when the Chiefs have played these teams the past couple of weeks, then they have to go back and tell me about when Chris Jones was out and when Charvarius Ward was out and when Frank Clark was out and before they had Melvin Ingram. Willie Gay was out. That's a lot of defensive starters that were out the first month and a half of the season. That's a big deal.
Weren't those guys playing when they were playing Buffalo and Tennessee, though? Most of those guys?
Well, Ingram wasn't here yet, and so Chris Jones was still, I think.
Jones didn't play Tennessee, I don't think.
Well, he did. Was Chris Jones out?
Exactly. See,
there have been
so
many injuries. I don't remember who was there and who wasn't. No. But you have to have a team on the field for a few games to gel and get the chemistry together. And now... Like Willie Gay, how many games is he? Four. Will Chris Jones miss a couple? Ward missed three. You bring Hitchens in Melvin Ingram. Besides the Chiefs battling back from adversity, there's real evidence there that, okay, they went through a whole lot of injury. They've come together now, and this is a real reason why the defense is playing better. Yeah. Not just who they've gone up against. It's now they have their full defense out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I think there's two ways to look at it. Are they... a defense that's playing good, or are they a good defense that's just finally playing up to their potential? And so we'll find that all out in the final analysis. You know, it's still, what, six games to go?
Right.
Three playoff games, the Super Bowl to be played. But end of the day, all that matters is you're winning.
Right, and that's why, like, nobody wants to hear about those injuries, so I don't want to hear about the injuries the Chiefs are facing.
Yeah.
It all evens out over 17 games.
It does. And the only thing I'm saying about just are they the best team in the AFC,
yes.
I don't know if it matters. Because what does that mean right now?
Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
You've got to go
in the playoffs.
You're
going back to the Super Bowl, Jeff. That's what it means.
Jeffrey Chidea.
That's what it means.
From NFL Network is here. I do want to ask you about the offense, Jeff, because they have won four games in a row.
Yeah.
And the offense has played well once
in
those four games. And especially... whatever, tip balls, this, that, and the other. Patrick Mahomes was not responsible for a touchdown last week. Didn't run one in, didn't throw one. In these four games, he's had three games with whatever you think about quarterback rating, it's a measure, that where he's had a quarterback rating in the 70s in three of these wins, which is a good sign for the team that they could win a game where he has not played well and the offense hasn't performed well. Broken, not broken, whatever. The Chiefs' offense has not been as good consistently as people expect around here. Has that been opponent-driven, Chiefs-driven? Can you put your finger on why it hasn't been able to be what people want?
Well, it's what is this, expectations? People have become so accustomed to 400-yard passing game like they had against the Raiders. 400 yards,
five scores,
up and down the field, big plays. And that's just... I said it 2 weeks ago, and it was like, oh, you're crazy. They're never going to – how could you say this? Teams are playing them to not put up those kinds of numbers. The Cowboys, without their two best pass rushers, played them that way. They're not going to be given those kinds of opportunities to put up those kinds of numbers. And so, again, I think it's better that they're embracing who they are right now. They're embracing the fact that they're going to win some ugly games. There's probably going to be some turnovers in there. They're not going to dominate a defense and just get up 14, 17, 20 points and just roll and coast. But I do feel like, as well as they're playing defensively, I wouldn't trust this team to make a championship run if the offense isn't playing at a higher level.
Yeah, they have to get better.
That's the whole key to the thing.
The thing that's kind of confused me a little bit is the script. The opening script has been great. They went down and scored last week. And then the Packers game, I think they scored the first one. Giants game, they went down and the ball bounced off someone's face and ended up being a pick. But then after that, the wheels have a little bit fallen off in some of these games. Not the Raiders game, but these other games where they've won, which is great. That's the goal, the alphabets, right? Not the numbers. But why do you think in game they haven't been able to decipher it?
Well, I think I think the best comparison I can make, or the best analogy I can make, is that the Chiefs for the last 3 years have felt like a bunch of really good musicians who get together and have a jam session, and they're able to just vibe off each other and pick up on what somebody else is doing, and they just have a intuitive feel for where to take the music. And if you see really good musicians playing together, they can elevate the performance to a level of genius. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's been going on. But now it's to the point where, okay, you got some new players involved. They're a little bit off. It's no different than Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham in Cleveland. Odell Beckham has been a talented player. Baker Mayfield's a competent quarterback, but they can never get on the same page. I just think a little bit different pass protection, maybe not as much trust in the offensive line, for Mahomes. Teams are taking away Tyreek Hill. They're being more physical with Travis Kelce. Other guys aren't getting open as quickly. The culture, the desire to go out and make the big play and dominate. These guys all have egos. And not just the players, but the coaches. And so you saw that with Dallas. And I'm not going to turn this into a big Dallas didn't play their best game. If you saw their A game, it'd be a different story type of narrative. But it was astonishing. You were there to see how Dallas played scared, mm-hmm, and played conservatively. And they went away from the run game. And they didn't feel like they could. They kept trying to throw the. They threw the ball 48 times in a game that they lost by 10 points. And so instead of trusting their game plans, trusting their weapons, it was like, we got to throw. We have all these plays we want to do. And sometimes you're seeing it with Buffalo, too. You're seeing when they came in here, they were balanced. Now, all of a sudden, it's Josh Allen throwing the ball 50 times a game, and he's getting sacked, and he's trying to do too much. And I think so many of these offensive coordinators fall in love with throwing the football, all these plays they've designed, all these things they want to do to an opposing defense. And sometimes, as the Chiefs have learned, you got to keep it basic. You got to say it's okay to hand the ball off to the running back and let him gain 5 yards. It's okay to throw the ball to the running back in the flat and let him gain 6 yards. As long as you're moving the chains, that's going to keep you going. And so the best thing about the Chiefs' first drive was they mixed it up. They went to whatever, pistol formation on the goal line. They had things that they wanted to run that really set the tone for how they were going to be. They were going to be pragmatic. And there were some moments in there where Mahomes was, I think, I was sitting next to James Palmer, my coworker on the NFL Network, and he was following Mitchell Schwartz on Twitter, and he said Schwartz tweeted out something like, they've called 4 straight run plays. I know what they're supposed to run here, and Mahomes has checked a pass every time. And so that stuff's going to happen. Because I do think that's still in their DNA to want to go out there and just embarrass somebody, kill somebody. But end of the day, you have to do what's best for your team, and they're doing that, whereas other teams aren't.
We have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. It's Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Here's a good tweet from
a good tweet,
Albert.
Like supporting me? Or a good tweet like...
I think it's supporting you. It's funny. Okay, I think it's kind of funny.
All right. I'll hear it.
Albert says, I'll be listening to this later on podcast. I'm on the road with kids listening to their music and my wife's music. I appreciate Jeff Chedia keeping me grounded. He's like my Chiefs mother-in-law. That's pretty good.
Okay.
You know?
That is funny.
But you do balance things out. Because I go off the deep end. Here I am telling you, I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose again. So...
Which is fine. I always laugh because I feel like,
woo!
I'm one opinion out of millions in the world, and I appreciate.
But your opinion's important.
I guess. I don't know. I guess. But I always tell people this. Look, if I hated the Chiefs so much, I know a lot of people over there. I know a lot of people over for a long time. With Andy Reid, 2 decades. Eric Bieniemy.
Drop the names. Come on.
Way back. Dave Tobe. Kelsey. People in the building. Ted Cruz, I've known since he was working for as a number 2, number 3 PR guy in Carolina. So when Mark Donovan helped me out with a nonprofit thing, their president. So when those people come up to me and say, man, what are you saying? Or if Veach says that to me, I'll be like, okay, I probably need to check myself and think about what I'm saying. But they seem to respect me. And so I kind of take that as my gospel in all this.
That's your barometer.
That's my barometer. And so I'm cool with them. We know how it goes down. And I know, as I always tell people, especially with Eric Bieniemy, I guarantee you behind closed doors, it ain't pretty when they ain't playing well. He's not up in there saying, you know what, Tyreek, I think you're really good. And Patrick, if you just throw the ball a little bit better.
Sort of funny moment in the game when they scored the second touchdown and Clyde Edwards-Helaire got the taunting penalty for pointing, which, whatever, the rules are the rules.
Stupid.
And they've agreed to this, right? And they go over to the bench, and Bieniemy was getting ready to, I mean, just rip him one. And the players all kind of gathered around. They shielded a little bit and got jumping around this little kind of mosh pit and fix it up because they're having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, but still, stuff like that kills Bieniemy because he knows how hard it is to go work that to get down there. And then you just follow the simple rule. If you guys have agreed, and Andy said this after the game, the players agreed to this. These taunting rules. They agreed to it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Bieniemy, and they're lucky it's bye week, because otherwise there would have been a long film session about in the meetings.
But you know what? But it's just like, and you guys have been around sports your whole life, most of the people I know in sports are very, very hardcore, honest, and candid, and brutal in their assessments of people and performances. And so I was laughing. Got a guy I know covers the Colts, and a week ago he was like, this ain't no playoff team. They ain't beating nobody yet. This is, you know, it's just like going off on him, and then they go out and kill Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like in every town, it either falls one or two ways. Either your team is horrible and can never do anything right, and it's completely off the rails, or they're the greatest thing that's ever walked, and no team has ever been this good. And it's just, there's rarely a middle ground of people who are like, or those
especially
people
in Kansas City,
aren't
after they've
really
been so good, you don't want to see the warts. You don't want to talk about the warts. Because right now, people, listen, a lot of people in Kansas City have Chiefs colored glasses on right now.
Chiefs.
Right? Chiefs.
That's right.
Chiefs colored glasses.
I think warts are good, though.
Yeah.
I think if you're real about it, if you're honest about it, you really. Look, that team that won the championship in 2019, they weren't the best team in the NFL that year. They had stretches there where they really struggled, but they won a championship because they responded well. Mm-hmm. Right, they handled things well, you know, and so I think that's always the most important thing. That's what they're showing now. They're showing the heart of a champion and how they play through this stuff.
So when things like there was a tough stretch, and look, there's some Chiefs fans, and there's nothing wrong with getting on the bandwagon. There's nothing wrong, new Chiefs fans, whatever else, right? Those of us that have gone through it for our lives and decades, we know that's nothing compared to how bad it could be when the Chiefs had the number 1 overall pick in the Pioli years, or in the 80s when the playoffs were just a pipe dream. I mean, we've seen bad football here, okay? And what the Chiefs, what we experienced was just a drop in the bucket earlier this season, because things can get ugly around the NFL. Say, for instance, this clip that we're going to play right now. Let's crank this up, and then I'll describe what this is. Listen to this crowd and what they're chanting. That's a fire Nagy chant, right? You're thinking, the Bears fans can do whatever they want.
Tough loss to the Ravens, right?
That was at the Chicago Bulls game last night.
Yeah.
Whoops. So that's what's going on right there. They're at the freaking Bulls game, and they're starting to fire Nagy chant. I figured you'd appreciate that. Welcome to the Chicago Bulls game. Fire Nagy right then. It's all perspective, right? It's all expectations. It's all, you know, the Chiefs are.
You can have what's going on in Vegas right now.
Nope.
You can thank you.
You know, they've been down this road with this franchise before. They've had death around it. You know,
right.
But you know, again, that's what makes the NFL so great is that it inspires so much emotion, so much passion. When I'm traveling to games during the week, I see people getting on with all their different colors on. It's like Gladiator. It's like people are going out to battle and they want to see their team win. So I totally get it. You know, but I also know that that's only one team gets to be happy at the end.
So if you think that those chants were loud, let the Bears lose to the Lions on Thursday on Thanksgiving. It's Bears at Lions, which provides us
Jeffrey Chedia's Lions.
One of the most god-awful quarterback matchups in, just that you can have. I mean, Andy Dalton's fine, but nobody wants to see him. Nobody wants to watch Andy Dalton. His family probably, but no one else. No one is asking for this.
They may not ask for it.
Do you know who's starting for the Lions? Quarterback? Do you even know?
Dan Orlovsky?
Well, that would, they'd probably be better off.
Might take him.
Tell him who. Old Timmy Boyle.
Yeah.
T. Boyle. Is that worse than Jared Goff?
I don't know who that is.
Well, it's Tim Boyle. Jake, you got any thoughts on Tim Boyle?
Got him on your...
That's what we're going to see.
Eighth.
I think he might be their third string guy.
Yeah, he's their third string.
Yeah, because...
Kid out like Eastern or Western Kentucky or something.
Yeah.
Horrific. And so that...
This is why I laugh at you every time we start talking about the Lions in the preseason and the offseason and all this. These people who was it a couple years ago?
I was hoping last year, not this year.
Around. It's just, right. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so you've got that going for them. That's a terrible game. And so Raiders at Cowboys, you think the Raiders can win that game? I think they're done. I think they've checked out.
You think they can't beat the Cowboys?
After watching them against the Chiefs and against the Bengals, they did not look competitive. I mean, this is a team that's lost their head coach, lost their last two first-round picks. The quarterback's not playing well. That's a lot to overcome, and now they're getting their asses kicked.
Yeah. Well, if you would ask me about the Cowboys game last week after Mark Cooper went out, I'd have been a lot more skeptical of it. So to not have Amari Cooper and potentially not have CeeDee Lamb, yeah, I think the Raiders can win the game. I mean, I think it would be, given the context of it, the situation that they're going into where the Cowboys just lost a tough game on the road to the Chiefs, but the Broncos went in there and beat them. And the Broncos went there and beat them with the same kind of thing that the Raiders have going for them, which is a good running back and a good run game. I certainly think it's a winnable game.
Do the Raiders have what it takes as an organization to rally with everything they've gone through?
Well, I guess we're going to find out. I mean, but... Look at the Bengals before they played the Raiders. You know, look at the Chiefs a month ago. Look at the Colts a month ago. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think if we get into this realm where it's, this team is always going to be what they were because it's going to do what they've always done. This is who they are. I just think it's a different season. And so, yeah, I think I've seen teams lose three straight games and then go out and win. I just saw a horrible Houston team go to Tennessee on the road and beat them by 9 points.
Yeah.
Like, who was picking that game?
Well, it wasn't me.
Who was it? I saw Jacksonville beat Buffalo.
Right. And the Chiefs, that was the way they lost was bad against Tennessee, but they don't have a loss to a bad team.
No.
That's one thing they have avoided. They haven't lost to a bad team, and everyone else seems they have.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that if we're going to... Either we're going to play the game of, hey, this guy's not here, this guy's not here, this guy, and then this game is more winnable for the other team, or we're going to say it doesn't matter. I think it matters when guys aren't playing.
But I think the Raiders, it's different. I think they've checked out. I think, you know, they got a...
5-5.
Well, what were they?
They were 3-0.
But things have happened since then.
Well, they lost their coach.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
And then they had a cornerback threatening to kill someone.
It's not like they're just trending downwards. They've cut... two of their first-round draft picks. They lost their head coach. There's levels of teams are falling apart, and then there's traumatic. There's like
I agree with you. I'm not saying that that stuff isn't happening. All I'm saying is they're playing a team without
that's got some issues.
Five of right. their seven.
I think
best
Lamb's on a short week. I think
well, the Raiders are on a short week too.
Yeah,
I think Elliott's playing. I think Lamb's playing.
Is Lamb playing? Or
yeah,
is
I think
protocol?
So. I mean, from what
that's
I
pretty fast.
I mean, they're a 7-point favorite. Uh-huh. I mean,
do you think?
Let me ask you this: are the Broncos better than the Raiders?
Yes.
Well, yeah,
right
now
demonstrably.
Right now, they are.
Well, I think they're. I don't think they've faced the same things. So I don't think they've mentally checked out on the season.
What do you hat on with the Raiders?
Like, what do you compare the Raiders situation to?
I think they've played well before. I think they've played well throughout the course of the season up until this point hit. So I'm not arguing that this stuff isn't happening or doesn't affect them.
Right. But just look at the timing of what happened, when it happened, and then what's happened since then, right? They lost to the Giants. They got pounded by the Chiefs. Last weekend happened. It's like you follow trends, right? And then so when you ask me if they're better than the Broncos, that Broncos defense is legitimate. That's a legitimate defense.
Even without Von Miller.
I don't know.
But what I'm saying is, like, are they a better team than not much, but yeah, I think the trend is that the Broncos are a better team right now.
I guess the point I'm making is
NFL's
bipolar. Yeah.
Right.
Anybody can be anybody. I don't think even with their issues they're not capable of doing that, having a big upset.
Will the Saints beat the Bills?
No.
Will they sign Taysom Hill to another weird contract
no.
in the
have
meantime?
You seen the Saints lately?
Have
you seen the Saints' offense?
Has a man been paid more not to play quarterback than Taysom Hill apparently is?
Like,
he's ready now. I don't even understand these contracts. What is their infatuation with this guy?
What's the point of this?
This is their salary cap. He's their big salary cap wild card. Let's go to Taysom and sign another extension and get the numbers figured out.
Kicking the rock down the hill.
Well, yeah. those are the boy.
Like $50 million in a hole next year.
Pun intended. All six teams involved in the Thanksgiving Day and night games are coming off of a loss, and so that should be very interesting to watch that triple header on Thursday. We'll break when we come back. I want to get your picks on some really important games. This is a terrific lineup of games on Sunday.
Well, what about Saturday? Let's not gloss over Saturday with Jeff Chedid.
That's how we finish.
We both have big games on Saturday.
That's how
big
we finish.
Big games on Saturday.
And boy, I'm going to tell you.
Big
I
games
don't know
in Bedlam.
Yeah.
What the hell happened in Michigan State against Ohio State?
I'm tight sure about that.
Did you make any phone calls after that?
I didn't say anything.
I'm just glad my team put 59 up, so they scored more points than Ohio State did.
That didn't look right to me. Something happened.
Similar
Michigan State. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back after this on WHB. All right, let's get to some important games that'll be taking place while the Chiefs are enjoying their bye week. All right, AFC playoff implications. Let's start with the noon games. Steelers at Bengals. Who you got, Jeff?
It's a tough one. Steelers play the Chargers tough. Sunday night. But they're still so banged up on defense. You know, I'll take Bengals. I feel like the Bengals are making their push. They've had their adversity. They're making their push to get back into the mix here.
Titans and Patriots?
That'd be a big one.
I'm high on the Patriots right now. Mm-hmm. This is Obi-Wan taking on Luke Skywalker. I don't think Luke Skywalker has it right now without Derrick Henry and Julio Jones. The Patriots, man, I think I like them a lot in this game.
The other interesting game at noon, Buccaneers at Colts.
There are some good games, huh?
No, this is a great lineup of games.
I feel like the Bucs got back on the right track last night, the way they looked, getting Gronkowski back. I don't know when Antonio Brown's supposed to be back, but I think just having Gronk in the lineup, I think this is a good one for the Bucs.
The MVP award seems to always go to a quarterback. Should Jonathan Taylor be involved in the conversation?
He's mine right now. My top two guys right now are Jonathan Taylor and Kirk Cousins. With Brady 3.
Look at Jake right now.
He loves Kirk
Cousins.
We
woke him up.
That?
Big win for them. They're going to be.
Is he not like Kirk Cousins?
Oh, he loves him.
Really?
They're going to be
That's
on the
guy.
Road.
21-2.
The Vikings will be on the road at the Niners. The Niners have. They're schizophrenic, right?
They're 5-5 now.
Yeah, so they're hanging right there. This is not a prime time, so Kirk Cousins can win this game. Mm. Can they go out there and win this one on the road?
Yeah. You look at their offense right now.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in the NFL right now, and then Adam Thielen still.
still doing
his pretty
deal.
Good. Dalvin Cook's healthy, and Kirk Cousins. I keep saying it: 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and no one's talking about him as the MVP.
You are.
I am.
You're doing
I'm starting
it right
a bandwagon
now.
Man
right
on
now.
An island right here.
Yeah, so,
I'm hopping on.
2-man island.
Hey, if they get in the playoffs, he's going to be, and he keeps playing the way he's been playing.
They want that noon window is what they want. They
so
don't
got
want
the
that
Vikings.
Night
yeah.
game.
Yeah, I'll take the Vikings.
Okay, another really good game in the NFC, Rams at Packers.
I'll be at that game.
Oh.
And I don't know, man. I feel like the Packers. Aaron Rodgers' toes all messed up. But I feel like in that environment, being up there, it's a different story. And I feel like the way the Rams have gotten pushed around the last couple games, I'm not crazy about them right now. Until I see differently, I'll go with the Packers.
Sunday Night Football is pretty interesting. The Ravens had a struggle without Lamar last week. They barely beat the Bears. Mm-hmm. Browns are a mess. They're not great. But they've got a good roster. Mm-hmm. Forget about the quarterback situation. They got a good roster. This is Chiefs fans be rooting for the Browns because they need the Ravens to hang an L. But I don't think the Browns have what it takes to go there and win this one on Sunday night.
They're kind of lost right now, largely because the quarterback's lost. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much longer you can hang your head on that. That would be interesting to follow in the next couple of weeks if they keep trotting him out there, playing the way he's playing, all beat up. If they just don't say, "Hey, Case Keenum, put you out there and let's sit Baker for a little bit and see what happens," because they are really. Yeah, I mean, he's just not, he's just not getting it done. And so against even the Ravens with their defensive issues, and they've given up a lot of yards to a lot of different quarterbacks, I don't see where I think Lamar Jackson comes back and gets it done. That team is as good as it gets when the going gets tough. So I'll go Baltimore.
What about Chargers at Broncos?
Chargers.
Come on!
Chargers. I mean, all you have to know about the Broncos is – 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Teddy Bridgewater, like basically running from a tackle,
right?
As if it was like a oncoming bus on the freeway. And Patrick Mahomes threw a pick in that game. He's diving at the guy's legs,
right,
trying to get him down. That's the difference between winning and losing.
Now, really, well, more importantly, the game, 11 bells, Ohio State.
That's right.
Bringing their big puffed out chest up into Ann Arbor.
Ohio
to the big
State
house.
Favored by eight.
Eight. Eight. What do you think, Jake? Is that too much?
I think I would lean Michigan in the points in this one. Yeah.
What's your favorite Jim Harbaugh win over Ohio State?
Wow.
Sure. Back when he was playing 86. a touchdown pass to John Colasar. That's right, when I was 15 years old.
Okay, be honest. Because you talk about how, with the NFL, you're not a fan, so you can see things objectively. But what would this mean to you if Michigan beat Ohio State in a game of this magnitude where they're both battling for the college football playoffs?
Yeah, more.
Show your love for something.
I'm
here.
The same way with Michigan as I am with everything else. Like I'm realistic about it.
You're expecting them to lose, aren't you?
So,
be honest.
They've lost, only beat them one time in the last 15 years, something like that, 16 years.
But wouldn't
years,
that so. Make it so much sweeter if they won this
game? I'm happy that they were 2-4 last year. They were abysmal. It was a lousy year. If they lose, they'll probably end up still going to the Rose Bowl. So would it be great to see them win and get a chance to the college football playoff and the Big Ten championship game? Because they haven't done that ever, really.
Yeah.
I was about to say since.
They just haven't done that.
Ever.
Hard stop.
I'd rather see them than Ohio. I'm tired of Ohio State.
Would you be sad for that jackleg Ohio State guy wears that big necklace of Buckeyes? Would you feel bad
about it? I would not feel bad about it. But this is their best shot. I'll say that. This is their best shot. They've got a really good defense. I think they finally got a quarterback they trust. I think they're getting healthy at the right time. Harbaugh deserves credit for what he's done with the staff.
If they win this game, let's go if, and then they're going to probably have to play Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
In the title game. If they win those two games, does this team deserve to be in the college football playoff?
Oh, they'll be in.
Over Cincinnati.
Yeah. If they win those two games, they'll be the number two seed. Well, Alabama's going to lose to Georgia anyway, so.
Done.
Yeah. So they'd be number two.
And who will they play as the three?
Whew.
Could be anything.
Could be.
He wants you to say Oklahoma.
No,
Oklahoma.
He's fishing for Oklahoma.
How's Oklahoma?
That's what you want him to say. You're not
getting.
What are you doing?
I'm guessing Cincinnati, right? Since they beat Notre Dame, it'd be Cincinnati and Notre Dame would be the top four.
I know what you're doing.
So what?
There's no route for Oklahoma to get in there.
No. Then the two-loss Alabama team gets to be the four seed.
Yeah, they're getting bounced. They're going to get dusted by that. I feel as good about that game as I felt about the Cowboys beating the Chiefs.
Bama may lose to Auburn this week.
I was wrong about that, but
I don't think so.
Battle lines. Missouri-Arkansas, real quick. Go. Missouri-Arkansas. Who's winning?
Arkansas.
Oh!
Todd, will you shut up? Everyone have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP.